Before we begin, I have an apology. I'm sorry. Today at 11 o'clock, there's a talk back with the pastors. I will not be here for that. Pastor Jared is going to do it. I'm going to be at a wedding. Some of you know Al Thorpe, the guy who does Habitat Builds. He's always up here. His daughter is getting married, and I'm performing the ceremony. So I'll be down there today. It was funny when he found out, he came and found me, said, "Troy, thank you for marrying my daughter." And I was like, let's word that differently. You know, like, happy with the wife I got. Let's just let that go. So today what I'm going to do, I'm actually going to do something I've done with the students. I was trying to figure out what to do and praying about it, and this is something I was going to do on a Sunday night this semester, and I realized, you know what, let's do it in the Sunday morning. You can kind of get a taste of the stuff we talk about and what we do. What I realized years ago is the parables of Jesus I love, but they're lost on a lot of the students we have because they make no sense whatsoever because they're to a different audience. None of my kids understand what putting new wine in old wineskins means. Has no, just over their heads. If I say you can't play Fortnite on an old iPhone, that they get. So what I did years ago is I took all the parables of Jesus and I rewrote them. It's actually, you can buy it. It's an ebook on Amazon, but I didn't do it for that. I did it for me because I wanted to know how I can relate these stories. And so today we're going to do one of those stories. It's one many of you have heard before, but I'm going to laser focus on a little part that we skip because we don't understand. It's a little worded differently. It's to a different audience. So to do that, though, I need a volunteer. And I have, come on up. You that's the way to do it right there. All right, come here for a second. Tell everyone your name.
Emily.
Okay, here's what I need you to do, Emily. Can you stand right up here? You are going to be my model for today. So what I'm going to be... Yeah, hold on. I'm not sure about this anymore. It's good. All right, so what we're going to do is we're going to tell the story of the prodigal son. Do you know that story? Have you heard that story? Okay, so there's a boy who years ago told his dad, "I want all my money. I'm going to leave you now." And he goes out and he spends all the money, he loses it all, and then he comes home. And when he comes home, his dad gives him some gifts. So I'm going to give you these gifts, and you're going to kind of stand there as a model with these gifts so people can understand the importance of that little part of the story. Because we kind of skip over it. If we can put the scripture up, it's up there. So it says, "But his father said to the servants," this is when the son came home, "Quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him. Get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet. And kill the fattened calf we've been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found." And so the party began. So we're going to look at that verse, but we're going to focus on those four gifts that are going in there. There's four different things. So the first one is the finest robe. The dad gives the finest robe to his son. And I am here to give you, Emily, you're going to model this off. This is the away jersey of the Montreal Canadiens, if you want to put that on. You can do it. I know it's going to be a little bit big on you. That's okay. It's supposed to be. It's a hockey jersey. You're not wearing any equipment. You can do the rest by yourself. And just to make sure you don't feel out of place, I have the home jersey of the Montreal Canadiens. Because, you know, it's very important to have that. There we go. But there's a reason I picked these shirts. Because the finest robes would have been... These are not my finest robes. Let's put that right there. But they mean something. The thing I love about sports jerseys is you immediately know where someone stands. Right away, like when you go to a football game, you can tell who's in what section just by the colors they're wearing. So like the last time we had both these jerseys out was actually a few years ago. Lori said, "Can we go on a vacation and can I plan it?" And I'm like, "Yes, you can." And she planned to go to North Carolina. She doesn't get to see the ocean a lot. She wanted to do it. But what I didn't know is on the way, she planned for us to go to a hockey game because I've never gotten to see my team play because I live so far away from them. That was the only time in my life I've ever seen them play. Like I said, she's a keeper. She's the wife, not someone else. But so we're wearing these, and I said, "We got to put these on." And she right away gave me this look like, I don't know about this. Like, she grew up in Chicago where you don't wear a White Sox jersey to a Cubs game, you know. Like, she wasn't sure about this. And I said, "No, we're putting them on." So we wore them. We had lots of fun. People were very kind to us. But it was funny, at the very end, we're walking around in these jerseys, and this young man, do you know how sports games end? You like all try to funnel towards two doors, and it's just chaos, and there's thousands of people. And okay. Suddenly this young man runs up to Lori and I, And he has to show us that he got a stick. One of the Montreal Canadiens actually signed his game stick and gave him to the kid, which is fantastic. But I remember thinking at that moment, like, wow, that's cool. Who are you? Like, I don't know you. You have no idea who I am. And your parents let you just run through the crowd out to these strangers to show them this. Why? Because of what we're wearing. There's this immediately identifying thing where they knew where we stood because of what we were wearing. And that's what the father was kind of doing here, because it says, bring the finest robe in the house. It doesn't say bring his robes, so I'm guessing they weren't the son's robes. The finest robes would belong to the father. And the way this worked back then is you did not get a lot of outer clothing. The fact he has more than one tells you how rich he is. Most people only had one. And because of that, you would really identify a person by what they wore every single day. So when the son put these robes on, for everyone in the house, for everyone in town, they would have immediately identified him as he's one with the father. The father knows him, the father loves him, the father has this. The father is restoring his identity back into the family with putting on these robes. But that's just the first gift. So I have another gift. The second gift is the ring. Emily, I'm going to give you my credit card. Yeah, you're too excited about this, but I'm immediately regretting my decision. All right, there you go. That's you can think what you don't be memorizing numbers. What are you doing? I can see what you're doing. Not good. All right, but there's a reason I'm giving her that as the ring. So the way this would work in olden times of yore, when you had the ring, it would have the family crest on it. The Message version actually does a great job of this. It says, put the family ring on his finger. It's not like the father when this running home goes, quick, give him jewelry. No, there's a reason. Because the ring would have had the family crest. And with that, that's how you would have paid for things. It's kind of like today, if you were to go buy a car, I'm guessing you're not going to pull out a wads of fives and ones and be like, all right, here we go. Instead, you use a check, a credit card, something that denotes that you're worth this money and someone else will pay for it. Well, the same thing would have happened back then. If you were going to buy a field, it's not like you'd pull up with, you know, bags of silver coins. If it was a very expensive thing, you would just take your ring with your seal and imprint it, usually on a piece of wax or something, and that would denote that you were good with it. So what the father is giving his son at this moment, he's restoring back to him the entire the family finances. Like, let that gravity sink in for a second. The kid who went and spent it all and piddled it all away, before he's even back home, his dad is giving him back the access to all of that. Just like I'm giving her my credit card, and realistically, she has not access to all my finances. Thank goodness Mr. Visa caps it a little bit. But they would have had, this son would have had access to the entire family fortune again. But that's only gift number two. Then gift number three is sandals for his feet. And as Pastor Kevin made the joke, I'm Canadian. This is my green card. So I'm going to give my green card to Emily here. Be careful, that one, you gotta be more careful with the visa. The visa I can get again. The green card is a little bit harder. Because like Pastor Kevin said, I'm Canadian. I'm not American. I am not a citizen here. And because of that, my rights are much different than the rest of yours. I cannot do a lot of things you can't. Like, I can't vote in the elections coming up. I don't get a right to that. Part of when I got here, I was here on a religious worker's visa, which is so seldom used that they got rid of it. It's so bad, and no one understands how it works. But when I was at the church I was at before this, because that's why I came to America originally, when I was let go of my position, I called, I said, okay, I don't know what my status is now, because I was here on a visa, what does that do? And I called the number I'm supposed to call, and she said, well, I think it's this. Yeah, it's always a great thing to hear. I think it's this, but I'm not sure, call this number. So I called the next number. Well, I think it's this, but I'm not sure, so call this number. I got shuttled between 18 government agencies to figure out what I'm supposed to do, and I got the gambit from, you're fine, go do whatever you want, to, if I knew where you were, I'd throw you in jail. But I'm not sure, so call this number. And I still remember after that one, I took a break and I called my dad and I said, I might show up tomorrow with a U-Haul. Just be ready, because I don't know what's going on anymore. This is just part of not being a citizen. I have Another fun part is my social security number is newer than my birthday. Most of you got yours when you were born. I got mine 23 years later. A lot of people thought I was an identity theft. They thought I was stealing someone else's social security card. When I went to get an apartment, they actually looked at me and said, "You're a ghost, you don't exist." Kind of do. But that was a common thing that happened. I've been denied entry into the United States. I've been denied the right to work at times. Some of you remember a few years ago, they talked about people listening into the phone calls of immigrants. That could have been me, I don't know. It'd be really boring hearing my mom talk about Aunt Sheila, but it could have been, that's the thing. I don't know if it was me. When you hear all the rhetoric about build a wall and what we're gonna do with immigrants, I sometimes wonder, where are we going with this? And this is all stuff you should not deal with because you're citizens. That's the great part of being a citizenship. You are a part, you belong, and you don't have to think about stuff like that. With the sandals for his feet, the average person back in this time period, it was easy to tell where they stood. If you were someone who had a job, who was a citizen, you wore shoes. You had sandals. Servants and slaves went barefoot. And so this young man, when he left dad and he became more destitute, and he took jobs he didn't want to do, eventually he gave up his citizenship. There's a little tiny part in the story where he's working. Well, here, I'll back up a step. If I was to ask you to name a Jewish dietary law, what's like the first one you think of? Pigs. It's always first. No bacon. 613 laws in the Old Testament. Everyone remembers no bacon is one of them. I don't know why. It's important. But our young man in the story eventually gets so destitute, he starts to work with pigs. He's living with the pigs. It says he is dirty and with them, and he is so hungry, he wants to eat the food they're eating. That wouldn't have been lost on the Jewish audience that Jesus was talking to. In so many ways, this young man gave up his entire citizenship because of where he had fallen. And yet, when he comes back home, one of the first things his dad says is, quick, get him sandals for his feet. Restore him back to his citizenship. And there's one more. There's one more gift up there. It's kill the fattened calf. And I'm not sure if you've ever met people who have they might have a couple of bottle of wines at home, but then they have the bottle of wine. Like, that's the one we're saving, like when we retire or when our kids move out or whatever this thing is. Like, this is the bottle of wine. It's kind of like that. Now, I wasn't stupid enough to bring alcohol to the sanctuary, let alone give it to a minor, but I do have this. There are lots, right now we celebrate with cake. If we have a celebration, we usually have cake. There are lots of places to get a cake in Fisher's, but the place to get the cake is Taylor's Bakery, right? Say, So I went in, I said, hey, where's my favorite cake? How much does that cost? So this is a gift card. You get to get your own cake. Don't share that with your brothers either. I should have volunteered now. That's right. Told you, but you can get your own cake. That's good for you. But because this was like the gift, this was the fattened calf, but this is where this kind of breaks down. So I gave you a gift card, Emily, and now my part's done. You get it, that's it. This fattened calf would have been a daily investment of both money and time. They had to feed it every day. They had to take care of it every day. How many times do you think that older brother was mucking the stall of what I can only imagine as an overfed cow and just scooping poop and thinking, you know, one day, this is all gonna be worth it because one day something so amazing is gonna happen that we're gonna have the party. Not just a party, we're gonna have the party. And the second the father sees the son, he goes, this is that day. You're worth the party. Immediately with how the son is feeling coming home, the father is restoring back to him his worth. You're worth the party, son, get over here. We're gonna celebrate like never before because we're so happy you're home. So here's what I just wanted to do. We're gonna pause for a moment. I want you to turn to the person next to you, and which one of those gifts would speak to you the most? So say you're coming home, you've given it all up, you've humbled yourself to come home, and your father comes out and wants to give you these four gifts. Which one gives you the feels is basically the question, but which one would affect you the most? Go, talk. Yes, talk in the sanctuary. Go. You're done. Thank you. Yeah, this is yours. But I'm going to need the shirt back. Thanks. Like 30 seconds. Make sure you explain why, too. Like, why was this gift the important one? Go. So here's part of the reason why I do this with students and why we celebrate this so much is to help us understand not just who God is, but what he thinks of us. I've grown up in the church. I've sang all the churchy songs, and there's so many wonderful phrases like, you know, when Jesus came, he washed away our sin, he took away our debt. And they're lovely, and I hate them because they're very, very incomplete. If I have $2 million and I spend $3 million, I go into debt. And if someone wipes away my debt, where am I at? Zero. Jesus Christ did not come back for us to be a zero. And I wonder how many times, because we use this language, we sometimes think that's kind of where we're put back to. Like, we're wiped away and we're set clean. We're at like a fresh new starting point. We're not. We're really not. We're a new creation, yes, but we're not at a new starting point. We're restored back to so much more. I mean, you look at where this young man was. He didn't have it this good before he left. He didn't wear the finest clothes. He wasn't worth the party. He probably didn't have the family credit card, or else he wouldn't have asked for his inheritance. He was back higher than he was before. And this is why when I talk and pray with students, if you've heard me, I pray a lot that not they just know Jesus, but they know who they are in Jesus. Because it helps us understand what we've been restored back to. That we understand, like in the creation story, I don't know where you stand, if it's literal or not. I really don't care. But the point of the story is that Jesus speaks into life, into all creation, but for us, he stops. And he handcrafts us, and he breathes his spirit into us because we are that precious and that special. There's verses that describe that we are part of the family of God, how we are sons and daughters of God. There's verses that explain that we are the bride of Christ as the church. That's how much God loves us, that we are like a spouse, we're a bride. There's other stories that explain that our identity is who in Christ. We are clothed in Christ, that we have access to the blessings and the treasures of heaven, that we, our citizenship is not of this world. We are citizens of another world of heaven, that we are worth so much that angels celebrate when we decide to follow Jesus, that there's so much more that we're worth. We are not zeros. Jesus did not die on a cross so we could be a zero. He died so we could be restored to so much more. And that's what we need to be remembering. That's what we need to be living out. I don't know where you are with Jesus today. I don't know, but unfortunately, sin entered the world. Sin is just rebellion against God. It's a fancy word for that. And we've all, in some way, rebelled against God, his creation, his people, somehow. And it's worth death, and I can't do anything to pay that off. And Jesus Christ chose to humble himself and come down to die on a cross so that we could be restored back to this state. So we are restored back to so much more. And I think sometimes we just forget that. So my prayer for today, for you especially, if you've heard this before, if you haven't, to understand the love of Christ and how we just need to be living like we've been restored. That son, when all these gifts were given to him, he couldn't live the way he was 10 minutes ago. He couldn't. He couldn't go back to pig farming after that. How could he? He had to now live as the son, as someone who's been restored back.